Just because we sing the song, I am a friend of God, doesn't mean I'm a friend of God. I don't mean in any way that God would reject me. I'm just saying friendship takes time. You learn their voice. You recognize a friend who calls you on the phone because you've spent time with them. What is it? What is it about this Jesus that is so commanding that someone here has followed them and something inside of them comes so alive that nothing else matters? How does that happen? It wasn't the result of a sermon. It wasn't an altar call. It wasn't a summer camp where at the end they made a decision, I'm going to follow Jesus. It was just simply somebody came by the shore while they're cleaning nets and Jesus said, follow me. Peter goes, done. Done. I'm in. What does that take? So here's the disciples following Jesus. They're with him for 3.5 years. Jesus then dies. But the last week of his life, Jesus starts talking to these guys. And in John 14, 15, and 16, he mentions something 4 times that is so significant. On 4 occasions, he gives them a blank check. He gives them what he gave Solomon. He put it this way in John 15. He said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you can ask anything you want, it'll be done for you. Blank check. In John 16, I think it's around verse 20, he says, up until now, you've asked nothing of the Father. Remember, all dialogue with God has been with Jesus himself. So now he says, up until now, you've asked the Father nothing in my name, but there's a day coming soon, quickly, where you will ask the Father, and anything you ask him in my name will be done for you. So 4 times in 3 chapters, Jesus gave them blank checks. Why? Because right in the middle of it, this is his, in the last week of his life, this is one of his final conversations, he unveils the reason for 4 blank checks. Given to his disciples. That's in John 15. He said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Just because we sing the song, I am a friend of God, doesn't mean I'm a friend of God. I don't mean in any way that God would reject me. I'm just saying friendship takes time. You learn their voice. You recognize a friend who calls you on the phone because you've spent time with them. It's frequent interaction. It causes us to know this is what they value. This is their favorite color. This is what they like to do, you know, Sunday afternoons. This is their hobby. This is their whatever. We get to know them because of time together. We know Jesus sometimes through a song, through a favorite scripture, but we've been summoned into a relational journey. And it was to the 12 that had been with him for 3.5 years, he said, to them, you can ask whatever you want. He didn't announce that to anyone who was in the crowd. That would have been a welcomed message in John 6, instead of eat my flesh, drink my blood. People would have voted for that one any day over the drink blood thing that he was preaching. They would have bought right into that immediately. They would have increased their numbers. The altar call would have been massive. But Jesus chose not to do that. Here's my question for you. This man asked about eternal life. And Jesus gave him an answer that was perfectly fitting for him because Jesus saw the heart. But most of us would have led him in a prayer and tried to make him believe that he was fully surrendered to Jesus. But was he? He wouldn't be any more saved after my prayer than he was with Jesus' conversation. The point isn't to shame people or to lock horns with people or to challenge. That's not the point. The point is tenderly we love people and speak and care and direct people into this relationship where it just makes sense. Drop the nets. It's the most logical thing in the world to do. I don't need the boat. It's like we leave things to come with him. I mean, the farther you go with God, the less you can take with you. He could have started the conversation with John 15:7. Abide in me. You can just see him on the beach Peter's never seen him before. Jesus walks up and says, Peter, abide in me. My words abide in you. You can ask whatever you want. It'll be done. There would have been a whole bunch more than Peter that signed up for that one, because they would have signed up for the stuff and not the relationship. It's all about the relationship. Anything I build on the reward, I believe in the reward so much. It's a central part of the faith in the journey with the Lord, not the journey for salvation, but in the journey with the Lord. Once we're born again, faith is an expression of our confidence in him as the rewarder. That's Hebrews 11. I must believe he is and the rewarder of those who seek him. The confidence of him being the rewarder is essential in our journey. I feel like the Lord let me rephrase this. The shaking in our life reveals whether we're in it for the journey or for all the things. Because if I measure how well I'm doing by breakthrough in these things, then my own self-esteem in Christ goes up and goes down, goes up, goes down. But if I see it for what it is, there's a reward. He's given me much more than I ever deserved. The next week, there's a challenge. This gives me an opportunity to draw nearer. It's all about the journey and who I'm traveling with. See, it's all for Jesus. It really is. It's not Jesus looking for entrepreneurs who know how to handle money. He just found one. Here's a prime candidate. Jesus doesn't need anybody's gift. He can bring revival through a rock if he wants to. He can anoint a camel to preach. I mean, do whatever he wants. He's God. Old Testament, he had a donkey preaching. He once announced, I can raise up a whole generation to Abraham out of these rocks. What? Trust me. All I got to do is speak, and they come. Not only that, I can get them to praise. The point I'm trying to make is when the Lord doesn't look at, you know, celebrities and, you know, all this stuff and look for the most talented people. I love talent. I do. I love human talent. I love the Olympics. I love the Olympics for that reason. It's just bizarre to me. The people will train 8 hours a day for 4 years, 8 years to run a 10-second race. And then it's over. And if they're in first place, they won by, you know, 1/100th of a second. How does it come down to that? How do you develop skills like that? I'm so impressed with these guys. I love human skill. I love the musicians, the actors, the actresses, the business people that just have the intuition to know what to do. Culturally, they see what's happening and they know how to invest. They know they fly over a city and they know where the city is growing, so they invest in this land and in that land. It's just amazing to me, this natural wisdom and skill that God's given people. I love it all, but he doesn't need any of it. He doesn't look at the landscape and go, oh, this guy can really sing. I should get him saved. He doesn't think that way. He just doesn't think that way. He just finds people that have stuff. And he says, come on. You just can't drag the boat with you. I'm not one who believes that that message of abandoning all is the mark of surrender to Christ and you have to sell everything to do that. You know, if he says for you to do it, you do it. That's just the point. But Jesus ministered to people differently. Mary and Martha, Lazarus, very wealthy people, never said that to them. Why? It wasn't at the center of their heart. See, he has laser vision. He has that tenacity to go right to the root and the core of issues. With one person, it's the bitterness regarding their past, but it's the key to their breakthrough. To another person, it's their whole vision for their life. They have to lay it down.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.